Deitha, Ewi Nakan. Welcome to podcast number 30. Hope you're well. We had the bank holiday weekend last weekend, and as we never used to go away much for holidays, always look forward to bank holidays. Gives you a little extra time off, but you always seem to pay for it when you're back at work, and this week was no exception. We had you kind of basically squeezed 5 days work into 4 days, so it was pretty full on, but it was over before it started. As far as the bank holiday went, I think a big chunk of it was receiving reports of escaping horses, and the first report was Thursday night. We was in bed, must have been about past 10-ish, I think, and Helen from over Trelawney, Helen Simmons, sent me a little message to say that they had a load of horses there at the garden centre, and the police was on scene trying to sort it out. So they wondered if it was ours, because it was from the top of our lane and there is the field there and there's 11 or 12 horses in there. And sure enough, it was they horses. So I said, well, I knew whose horses it was and I could speak to somebody to get a message to him, which they did, and they rounded up the horses. I think they had to close the road while they just drove them back to the field, so all was well. Well, then when we got up the next morning, pulled back the curtains, and they in next door's garden then. So they got out again, so got hold of Meddy again, and he put them back in the field. And then in the afternoon, they found another way out, and got hold again and back in the field. So we thought he cured it then. And Saturday, I had a day of paperwork pretty much, but in the garden. And Sunday morning, had a bit of a lie-in. I'm thinking about 8 o'clock in the morning, perhaps. The phone goes. And on the other end of the phone was the angelic voice of Sarah Bennett. So she just rung up, say, David, there's two horses out from the field up the top of your lane. So I said, right on. I said, we'll get a message to him and tell him to come and sort them out again. And I thought that perhaps I'd better get out and give him a hand. So Tom, I got sorted, just going out the front door, and she rung again. And in true cowgirl fashion, they'd rounded him up and they was back in the field. So that took up a little chunk of the weekend. But then the actual Sunday, it was the day of the Easter egg motorbike ride. So this ride, known as the Egg Run, I think this was the 26th time they'd organised it, and it is run by the Widow Sons Motorcycle Club, and they come under the Freemasons banner, and it is fantastic. I absolutely love it. You start up David Stowe Airfield, and the plan was that I was going to meet Johnny Hogan up the petrol station. There was a couple other there. We was going to meet up and then pick up Tony up Camelford and then go up to the airfield for half past nine we was going to meet. Well, I'm just getting ready and I had a wardrobe malfunction. Went to pull up my zip on my leather jacket and the blimmin' pin come off. So I thought, crumbs, what I was going to do. So I messaged Johnny. I said, look, you can have to go on. I'll meet you up there. Well, Molly and Lily was in the kitchen. We tried to bodge it up, but we couldn't get it sorted. So I thought, there's only one thing for it. I'm going to have to get my old jacket out, which is a size smaller. He's a bit tight. To give you an idea, it is the one that Beth wears when she jumps on the back of the bike. So I squeezed myself into that one. And I tell you what, I was trussed up like a chicken. It was hellish tight, really. And oh, before I go on, actually, yeah, I think that'll be me Cornish phrase for the week. Trussed up like a chicken. So where was I? Yeah, so anyway, I made my way up to the airfield at David Stowe. And God, I absolutely love it up there. I always try to do that one and the Martin Jennings ride, which is later in the year. I don't get on the bike as much as I should, really, but there's never enough time. But if ever I got 5 minutes, I'll grab a little ride. But I do love they two rides because you just meet up with people. You know you're going to see them year after year. You have a good yarn. And 'tis like, I turned up on the Sunday, and if you like bikes and you've never been, 'tis well worth going up just to have a gek around. Because as you're just driving down, I was obviously running late, so most of the bikes was there by then. But there's just, each side of the road is just lined with motorbikes. And 'tis every type of motorbike, every size, from little kind of scooters and mopeds, right the way up to blimmin' great Arleys and trikes, from really old vintage motorbikes to brand new ones, customized ones, every sort of motorbike you could think about. And 'tis fantastic. I dearly like it. So I think there was over 500 motorbikes there, to be honest. And then we kind of set off and we go on the ride. Now, the last few years, we seem to have always headed and a different route every year, but you end up down Cornwall Services for dinner. And then the second part of the ride, you always end up back at Bowden Derra up at Polyphant. So anyway, we started off, left Davidstowe, headed down to Wadebridge, got down by Penybryn and turned right. I thought, crumbs, where are us going this time then? We went out on the Polzeth Road, went all the way up through Delabole, up Tintagel, Boscastle, nearly up to Bude. There was like Carnworthy Water, and we come out Wheelsey Down. And what they did actually was quite good this time, because we actually did the whole ride without a break. And we rode for, I suppose, 2.5 hours. So then we ended up at Bowden Derra for the barbecue. They had a live group there. And I think the good thing about it was that more bikers actually went to that bit, because quite often if you go like Cornwall Services for dinner, then some bikers do peel off, they don't all do the full route. So yeah, there's a hang of a crowd up there. And of course the main reason for doing it, as well as having a ride out, is raising money for charity. And also you donate Easter eggs, which they give out to local children as well. But they always support children's charities like Little Arbor, Children's Hospice, and then there's different support units for some of the local primary schools and also for Bowden Derra Care Facility. And I say, I'm sure they've raised this year, the same as last year, in the region of £5,000 for all these charities. So it is a fantastic event. And we were so lucky, the sun was shining, forecast for rain was coming in later in the afternoon, but got home dry and had a brilliant ride. And I must admit, 'twas a relief to get out of my jacket. And I took the other one down to my dear friend Gary Cornish this week, and he's going to work his magic. I think I'm getting a new zipping, and so all is well. So we watched the football, and then in the evening I had to do me training run. And after having the sunshine all day for the motorbikes, it was then pouring down with rain. And I had to do 9 miles. So I thought what I would do if I left my place, if I run down the Camel Trail towards Padstow, once I get down to the slate quarry down there, I knew that that would be about 4 miles. So I just have to go a little bit further on, 4.5, turn around and come back. You can still see old remnants of the slate quarry there. It actually closed before the railway was put down, which was 1899, I think the railway was put down, but the quarry was closed before then. But how they used to transport the slate was all boats and barges and everything, and there was always quite a few quays up and down the Camel, going all the way up to Wadebridge. And I did hear, I might have got that wrong, but I'm sure I did hear that they did find in the end that the slate that they was mining down there, it wasn't perhaps the best quality and it used to crumble a little bit. So perhaps that's why it closed, I don't know. But then if you just go up the little road a little bit, you got the quarryman in there, lovely place, been there many a time. And you got all the quarrymen's, their old cottages there in behind. And it is a lovely area, really. But I'd done me 4.5 miles, so I turned round, I was coming back, and then me phone went, and sadly somebody had passed away. So when I got back, had a quick wash and shower, and we had to go to a nursing home just down the other side of Redruth. So we didn't get back till late that night. But I then had a more relaxing day on the Monday when our grandsons, Jesse and Ollie, come round, and we had a good old time there. So that was good. And then it was back to work on the Tuesday. Actually, before I go on about me week, I must go back and take this opportunity again to thank everybody that have donated so far. We're nearly up to £2,000 now, which is fantastic. You're all brilliant. And on a sadder note, we gutted James has actually had to pull out of the marathon now. He had loads of bad luck, really, with the chest infection and this blimmin' knee injury. So he'll be stuck at home, I'm afraid, and father will be trudging around London. But I had a lovely check this week, actually, from the Shipwrecks. And I think I might have mentioned them before. They're one of the boy bands here in Cornwall. So they do loads of singing, always for charity. You know, wherever they go, they never charge anything. People always give a donation. Perhaps a few pints of beer helps as well. But I did have Bobby dropped in a lovely check this week. And we said perhaps we'll give them all a name check. And I thought we'll run through all the Shipwrecks that's still up and running now. There's Terry Johns, Ter Rowe, Dale Cook, Bobby P, as we call him, Bob Parkhouse, Mick Stone, Keith Coles, Steph Davey, Mac McKenzie, Baz, Ellis Baker, and Chris Bartlett. And of course, Bob Wynn. Nearly forgot Bob as well, which I shouldn't have done because he dropped the check in. So that's fantastic. I think I got them all. I hope I missed anybody out. I tell you what, I feel almost like I'm presenting Gus and Yvonne's birthdays here with the name check. I'm now almost tempted to do press the magic button and do 3 bunny ops. But yeah, thank you once again to everybody. I expect if you've heard the previous podcast, we're raising money for Fleet, which is kind of for medical equipment for all the services here in Cornwall, a wealth-worthy charity, and 1 week to go. Marathon, 23rd of April, so I'm tapering down. I've just come back. I've done 3 miles tonight. I think, was it 5 I did last night? Rest day tomorrow, then 8 on Sunday, and then not too much at all next week before we head up to London Wall. Also, perhaps I ought to explain for any of you that don't live in the West Country who on earth Gus Honeybun was. Well, he was the mascot of Westward Television back started in the 1960s, and he was a puppet rabbit, and the presenter would always do the birthday greetings for all the children. I remember when we was kids, it was highlight. When it was your birthday, you'd all be sat around the telly. There was no video recorders then. And the presenter would be sat next to Gus Honeybun. And you would hope that mother and father had sent in a card to be read out by the presenter and say if you was 7 years old, he could do 7 bunny ops for you. And like I say, he used to press the magic button. I'll have to have a look back, see what other things he did. But yeah, one of the iconic heroes of the West Country in the 60s, 70s, maybe 80s. I don't know when Gus retired, but I thought I'd better explain who he was. And so now on to me working week. And I tell you what, we got streaming leaking. The weather was rough as router. I mean, all day Tuesday, it was pouring down with rain. Wednesday morning, it was raining. Wednesday afternoon, the wind was getting up then. In fact, we was in Glen Valley Wednesday afternoon, and the wind blowing there reminded me of years ago when we was in there, and we just had our funeral. I think we was about 10:30 in the morning, and the wind was that bad. The slates was actually blowing off the roof there, and they had to cancel the rest of the funerals for that day. But yeah, going back to the Tuesday, we had a graveside service, which we got leaking. I had Mabon on with me there working the music system. So, of course, the main thing was to keep that one dry. I mean, that was the main worry. But all was well there. And then in the afternoon, we was down Port Isaac and then on to Endelion for the burial. And I expect some of the that don't live around here, you've heard of Port Isaac before. It has been popularised with the Doc Martin series, Port Wen, as they call it. Also, the Fisherman's Friends, they all come from Port Isaac. And when we did the filming for Saving Grace, that was filmed, as I might have said before, down there as well in the village. And then the Doc Martin was the spin-off of that. And again, for any of you that ain't local, or well, they're well known all over Britain and further afield, but the Fisherman's Friends, they, if you haven't heard them before, you want to look them up on your music streaming channels or whatever you go on. But they're kind of a folk group based here in Port Isaac, and they've been singing, I think, since the mid-1990s, something like that. They do a lot of sea shanties, lovely gang. Sadly, a couple of them are no longer with us now, but yeah, lovely gang they are. But yeah, Port Isaac, I can always remember when I first started with Father. I can't remember if I mentioned this before or no, but one of my first jobs that I would do would be I would drive the hearse for Ian Unney, who was the undertaker out at Port Isaac. And Ian would use our chapel rest, and also we'd supply the hearse on the day. So as much as I think Port Isaac has got to be one of the most beautiful little Cornish fishing villages around, but for as beautiful it is, it isn't the best for working in if you're trying to get arse down through the main street in the middle of summer. And I can remember when I started, Roscarrick Chapel was still open in Roscarrick Hill. It was the Methodist chapel. And to get to it, you would have to go right down the main street there at Port Isaac, across the Platte, and then you'd have to reverse back up to the chapel. And it was a hang of a place, because the, if you ever down there, you have a look, the entrance to the going up the hill is a different angle to what the hill is. And you'd obviously always have the mourners there waiting outside. You'd feel under pressure. You hadn't been driving that long. You had to get it right. But I remember on more than one occasion, I'd be going down the main street and you could look across and I'd get stuck. And there was a delivery van once. He'd block the street right up, and I got out and I stood up and I could look across at Ian, and Ian was looking across at me, across the arbour there. And of course, he couldn't see what was holding me up, and I couldn't shout, obviously. But it was a bit of a nightmare. But then the chapel closed, and it, I think it was the pottery then. I think it was Billy and Barbara Hawkins at it, but I think they've moved now. But yeah, twin the best of places to work in, but it is a beautiful little village. And of course, it have got one of the narrowest alleyways, I think, in any villages in the country, and that's Squeeze Belly Alley. So if you go down and have a geck at that, you'll know why it is called that. So this week we was in St. Peter's Church in Port Isaac, and that's a lovely little church. If you go in, as you go in on the back wall, there's a lovely mural, which is a, takes up pretty much the whole of the wall. But they've changed it a bit now, but it always used to make me smile, because it was the only church we would go to where you'd have to open up these two tiny doors that would fill up the doorway, but before you could open them, you had to go around behind the door and move the lobster pot. And I think it's the only church we've been to where there is a lobster pot there inside the church you got to move before you can get in. And so we had another wet funeral in the week down again at Padstow, and then a few trips to Glyn Valley. And I, one thing which I did put on our Facebook page today, actually, if you want to have a look, was a, another different type of hearse that we used, first time we've used it, and is based on the Land Rover Freelander, and is a beautiful thing. They've actually had to do like they do with the hearses and limousines, where they get it and they cut it in half and they have to get an extra extension kind of put in. But it was a fantastic looking thing. I'd say I've put it on our Facebook page, so if you want to have a look at that, yeah, that was a bit special. And so that was pretty much my week, really. We've got the scaffolding up. When the weather clears up, I'm hoping this week they'll come and mend the hole in the roof where the finial actually damaged it a few weeks ago. But we've decided before we actually get the main scaffolding up to look at the other finial and decide what we're going to do, we've delayed that for a bit because we have got a couple of funerals coming up in our chapel in the next couple of weeks. So I don't think the main scaffolding will be going up until the end of the month. But hopefully if we can get this hole in the roof fixed, then that's the main thing at this stage. So say that was pretty much me week. We've done me Cornish saying, well, I take to Cornish, as we said down here, trussed up as a chicken. And I thought for the Cornish phrase, the one main one which every Cornishman knows, which I haven't mentioned yet, and I suppose for those of you that are further afield, it might be good for you to know what we'm on about, is Curno Bisvecan. And that'll be the phrase for this week, Curno Bisvecan. And that's Cornish for Cornwall forever. So there we have it. And I think that really sums up the podcast for this week. I hope you found it interesting again. The weeks fly by, and this time next week, I'll be getting ready to head up to England for the marathon. So I wish you well. Have a good week. Duganas.